A 12-year-old boy wanders into a dusty strip mall magic shop in Lancaster, California, searching for a plastic thumb tip. He walks out with something far more valuable, a roadmap to rewiring his brain and reclaiming his life. This isn't fantasy. It's the true story of how James Doty went from poverty and family chaos to becoming a Stanford neurosurgeon and pioneering researcher in compassion science. What makes this journey extraordinary isn't just the rags-to-riches arc, but the magic tricks a woman named Ruth taught him that summer of 1968, techniques that neuroscience would validate decades later. Ruth saw a boy drowning in circumstances beyond his control and offered him the most radical gift imaginable, proof that he could control his own mind and body, even when everything else was falling apart. Ruth's first lesson wasn't about positive thinking or willpower. It was about noticing how stress lives in the body. When young Jim described his alcoholic father and suicidal mother, Ruth didn't offer platitudes. Instead, she pointed out his sick stomach, tight chest, pounding head, and stinging eyes. "There are a lot of things in life we can't control," she said, "but you can control your body and you can control your mind." Ruth guided Jim through systematic relaxation, focusing on each body part from toes upward. Though skeptical, he noticed his racing heart slowing. Chronic stress floods our bodies with hormones meant for short-term survival, not long-term living. Ruth taught Jim to manually override his nervous system, consciously returning to calm despite external chaos. This wasn't mystical. It was practical neurobiology. By learning to relax his body on command, Jim gained control over processes most people experience as automatic. You cannot quiet your mind until you first quiet your body. After 2 weeks of daily practice, Jim made a startling discovery. "I never knew there were voices in my head until Ruth pointed them out." We all have an internal narrator, a relentless DJ judging every moment, replaying past hurts, predicting future disasters. Ruth's radical insight: you are not the voice in your head. You, the real you, is the person listening to the DJ. She taught three approaches to quiet mental chatter: breath awareness, candle gazing, and mantra repetition. These weren't about eliminating thoughts, that's impossible, but about recognizing when your mind wanders and gently redirecting it. Think of it like training a puppy. You don't punish it when it wanders off, you simply guide it back, again and again. One August day, Jim intervened when bullies attacked a smaller kid. Drawing on Ruth's teachings, he remained calm, staring directly into the bully's eyes. In that moment, he glimpsed the pain behind the aggression. The bully backed down. When Jim arrived late to the magic shop, Ruth used this experience to teach her most challenging lesson. When our hearts are wounded, that's when they open. We grow through pain. She taught him to counter negative self-talk with affirmations, but the real work was harder, sending loving thoughts to those who'd hurt him. "Those who hurt people are often those who hurt the most," she explained. The process was systematic. Relax completely. Focus on breathing while emptying your mind. Think of someone who gave you unconditional love. Then extend that warmth first to someone you care for, then to someone neutral, and finally to someone difficult. This practice, what scientists now call compassion meditation, increases brain activity in regions associated with empathy while decreasing stress-related activity. For Jim's final lesson, Ruth asked what he wanted most. When he said $1 million, she had him visualize the experience through his own eyes, not as an observer. He had to feel the leather steering wheel of his imagined Porsche, smell it, hear it, sense himself driving it. When Jim declared he wanted to become a doctor, Ruth taught him to set clear intention, visualizing himself as a doctor through a foggy window that would clarify with practice. What Ruth was teaching, visualization with emotional engagement, is now backed by research showing mental rehearsal activates the same neural pathways as physical practice. Despite poor grades, Jim applied only to UC Irvine after impulsively following a classmate. He visualized acceptance daily, and when the thick acceptance letter arrived, Ruth's teachings had worked. But balancing full-time work with classes left him with a 2.5 GPA, far below medical school standards. When a pre-med secretary refused to schedule his required interview, calling it a waste of time, Jim challenged them. "Who gave you the right to destroy people's dreams?" He explained how a physician had inspired him in fourth grade, how Ruth taught him anything was possible, and how his difficult upbringing had complicated his journey. Despite his grades, he guaranteed no one was more determined. The committee gave him their highest recommendation. He was accepted to Tulane Medical School despite being short of requirements. There, he discovered a natural aptitude. Years practicing Ruth's techniques had developed superior focus and memory. The deeper lesson: transformation isn't about erasing your past, it's about refusing to let circumstances define your ceiling. Ruth's visualization combined clear intention with emotional investment and hard work. When Jim visualized their rent being paid, a man soon delivered enough money for 3 months. The visualization primed Jim to recognize opportunities, maintain hope, and take action when possibilities appeared. Medical residency's crushing 36-hour shifts drove Jim and colleagues to escape through excessive drinking and cocaine. One October night, after hours of substance use, they crashed into an oak tree. Jim was the only one wearing a seatbelt, a habit his mother had drilled into him, yet paradoxically suffered the most severe injuries: complete bowel transection, ruptured spleen, and lumbar spine fracture threatening paralysis. During emergency surgery, as his blood pressure dropped dangerously, he floated near the ceiling watching doctors argue about his treatment. In a second surgery, he experienced the classic near-death journey, floating peacefully down a serene river toward intensely bright light, seeing deceased and living loved ones, feeling enveloped by overwhelming unconditional love. He survived thanks to 16 units of blood. What truly died that night was Jim's arrogant belief that Ruth's teachings had made him invincible and his conviction that he was fundamentally alone. The crash forced him to confront how far he'd drifted from Ruth's essential teachings about humility and interconnectedness. After achieving wealth through medical device investments, Jim found himself spiritually hollow. A pivotal moment came when he pledged $30 million to Stanford, then faced bankruptcy during the dot-com crash. Despite the financial peril, he honored his commitment, a decision that created unexpected liberation and revealed authentic purpose beyond finances. His scientific background led him to explore compassion's neurological basis. Research revealed humans possess dedicated neural circuits for compassion-specific brain regions activate when witnessing others' suffering. The vagus nerve serves as a crucial highway between brain and heart, with the heart sending more signals to the brain than it receives, suggesting emotional intelligence is physiological, not metaphorical. Strong social bonds proved more influential on longevity than exercise or diet, with social isolation increasing disease risk more than smoking. This inspired the Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education at Stanford. Jim developed an alphabet of the heart mnemonic: compassion, dignity, equanimity, forgiveness, gratitude, humility, integrity, justice, kindness, and love, selecting one quality daily as his intention. By intentionally cultivating compassion, we literally reshape our brains to become more caring, less reactive, and more resilient. 30 years after struggling through medical school, Jim returned to Tulane's white coat ceremony to share Ruth's alphabet with new medical students. Ruth's magic lives within each of us, waiting to be awakened. We don't need a physical magic shop. We need only look within ourselves with patience and curiosity. The ability to relax our bodies through conscious breathing, quiet our minds through meditation, open our hearts through compassion, and clarify our intentions through reflection. These practices, when applied consistently, transform individual lives and ripple outward to families, communities, and our collective human experience. Ruth understood how to rewire the brain decades before scientists could prove it. Through daily practice, Jim began responding differently to chaos, maintaining calm when everything fell apart. The practice isn't about eliminating thoughts, but about recognizing when your mind wanders and redirecting it. By intentionally cultivating compassion, we train our brains to recognize shared humanity in everyone, even those who've hurt us. This rewires neural pathways to become more empathetic, less reactive, and profoundly more resilient. Isn't it time we all stepped into the magic shop of our own hearts?